Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Keep dancing. I'm so sorry. I never do that properly. As you might have guessed by now, Mark isn't here. He's hallucinating in a hospital bed. So not in a hospital bed. That's over egging the pudding. But he's not very well. So instead, please may I introduce you. This is Julia, by the way. My husband, you've all met him before. It's Joel Morris.
Hello. I'm only here because Mark is road testing. He's an early adopter for COVID-22.
Yeah.
He couldn't wait to get the new one. It's like an iPhone. He
that
queued
is
up
so
outside.
Like him, isn't it?
Yeah, he wants the new one. He's trying it out. Apparently, it's awful. But yeah, he's very... every time someone's ill, you go, is it the Rona? But apparently it's just illness.
He's just got, it's having little kids, isn't it? Yeah. They give you all the nasty diseases. He's been hallucinating small birds, apparently, hopping around on his floor.
That's rather, what is it, like a Disney princess?
Exactly like a Disney princess.
He is in so many ways like a Disney princess.
It's pretty much how he looks, isn't it? Let's face it. It's certainly how he dresses. Anyway, we are returning to the dance. We're halfway through Strictly Come Dancing 2021, which seems unbelievable. Not in a bad way, but it feels like we're further in than that to you. To me, does it to you?
Yeah, because I think because we lost all the stompers really, really early.
So basically, we did.
Everyone's been really good for a long time. There've been lots of tens.
The ones who Craig would call... heavy flat footed. No, is it heavy of leg and flat footed?
Yes. There weren't that many this year, and so there were tens early. So it feels like we've already been to Blackpool. It feels like we've already had
well,
movie
certainly
week.
Nines. Yes, I know what you mean. So last week we lost Judy and Graziano, and we're down to nine couples, which means this podcast will be shorter.
Yay! It's really quickly. Brilliant. It was great.
And Joel and I talk very fast anyway, yeah, so you might fun. Want to slow down the playback speed on this. Right, shall we start with dance number one?
Remind me what dance number one was, because it was many, many days
ago.
Mark got ill. This is the opposite of fresh in my mind.
I know. This is like tired old commentary when everyone's already had their say. But anyway, we'll begin with dance number one, which was Adam and Katia's jive. As we now know, spoilers, their doomed jive to some sort of 1950s number. Was it the one that goes, oh?
That one. Yeah, that's what it's called.
I don't know what
it's by the sheet music. That's what it says at the top. The one that goes, oh.
That demands you either do it in a diner or a kind of the drive-in cinema of some kind. But anyway, so they did this very trad 50s jive. We were watching Strictly It Takes Two last night. Obviously, it's their exit interview.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, talking about how physically his legs were a mess and he thought his Achilles tendon was going to go. It's like, we decided, didn't we? He's turning back into a fish.
Yes.
And as he does that, obviously human movement becomes much more difficult.
These new appendages which he's developed, the human legs which he has, which he gave his voice to a sea witch and he got human legs. He's got human legs. As he prepares to return to the ocean floor from whence he came.
Exactly.
As our child said, flopping across the floor like a beached fish to leave. He came over very... He was talking about it in a very physical way.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the things Robert Webb's exit reminded you. This is really physically demanding on people, so you need
extremely
to be at peak fitness.
Yeah.
But for someone who's a sportsman,
he's
to say
an Olympic athlete,
yeah,
though.
To say this was hard, yeah. I was finding this hard, and you get the feeling with Hugo as well when he was leaving that because he'd hurt himself, he was being a bit careful.
Definitely, that's why they kept saying hesitant. The judges called this definitely hesitant, didn't
you
they?
You realise how much everyone who you're watching, especially when you're watching things at the professionals, they're like rubber. They're so effortless.
Exactly.
They're fearless about doing themselves any physical damage because they're in such peak shape that someone who's worried about their Achilles tendons going will dance a bit stiffly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the judges did think that. I think they said, Shirley said he had good postural stance, but he made an error, which then I think... So he did a misstep really early on, which in the jive is just terrible because it throws off your whole timing for the rest of the dance. So then he was very kind of didn't look as confident. Anton agreed. He said he was hesitant, said the classic line, but you were up on your balls beautifully.
Hey!
Good old Anton. I swear he does it on purpose. Craig gave him a six. He wasn't impressed at all, which if by this stage of the competition, sixes mean you're, you know, basically flotsam waiting to be washed out to sea. Yeah, he said his ball changes were heavy. He had very heavy
up
balls.
On his heavy balls.
Which means you can't dance through the moves if you've got very heavy balls swinging there. And then Motsi was really kind of like trying to ameliorate everything and sort of said there were many positives but didn't say what they were.
They put them out first as well, which I think was a bit cruel. Because I think if you...
The bookies all said Adam was going this week, so you don't put that poor guy. It literally is like cannon fodder, isn't it?
Yeah, it felt a bit cruel. I mean, there are a few people who are sort of... probably reaching the end of what they're capable of at this stage. And there are people who obviously you're hoping will be in the final. He's not in that elite group.
No.
And you could see him stiffening up. And also he's been holding his breath now for 7 or 8 weeks.
I mean,
now.
How's he done it though? It is impressive.
I mean, it's brilliant.
In some ways, it's more impressive than being deaf. Not being able to breathe because your gills are no use out of the
exactly.
water.
Exactly. I think we should be more sympathetic. We've had, as far as diversity casting this year, it's been through the roof, hasn't it?
Exactly. We've had a merman, for God's sake. They got 3 sevens and a six from the judges. Katia's face throughout, though, was just like, you know, she's normally got that fighting face or the kind of the determined or the sexy face. Her face the whole way through was like, yeah, I know. I'm fine with it. No, really, I'm fine with
it.
I'm
tired
now. She knew she was going. But I will say a Katia Le Strictly is always a very... dull place, I think. I really miss her choreography and I miss her presence on the dance floor.
She's a little sort of dose of anarchy. So it's funny as well. I think one of the lovely things about Strictly is as time's gone on and you've got to know the pros better, which is why it's really hard for someone like Kai to make an impact.
Totally. And he's done an amazing job.
I mean, yeah, enormous boss. You forget he was introduced as a new dancer. He's been such a defining face for this.
Yeah.
Is you get to know them. And actually those little... If you don't know the celebrities, and very often there's a thing where people go, I don't know who these people are, they're all influencers. But you do know the dancers and you do know the characters.
Well, it's almost like Mark was back for a minute then, sorry.
Yeah, but you do know the... I'll cough and get hot if you want. You do know the characters and your Strictly family, your sitcom little Pocket Rocket Jeanette Marara and it's sort of naughty daughter. She's the Vivian. She's the anarchic presence catcher.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And it's lovely to have those faces and those personalities in there, and it really, really helps
you. They give the thing texture, don't they?
Yeah, for sure. Particularly because I think you're depending on those characters, and your hosts are quite... I mean, Claudia's naughty and Tess is quite bland.
Yeah.
It's not something like an Ant and Dec show where the hosts give it all the texture.
No.
Those dancers are amazing, and the family of dancers, as it changes and evolves, is one of the reasons it's lovely coming back.
Yeah, and the judges, everyone's got kind of a part to play, haven't they, in that sort of sitcom setup.
Yeah. Judges especially, yeah.
The only thing I'd say about Adam, I mean, it's sad he's gone, but it kind of definitely was his week to go. It wasn't like there was anybody else, Dan Walker, in contention for the leaving spot this week.
That cough's really nasty, isn't it?
Sorry, no, I think Mark maybe transmitted it down the wires last week. But Adam didn't do himself many favours in the kind of post-match interviews. Obviously, he's a sportsman, so he's kind of just supremely confident and does not like losing. And even after that dance, where I think perhaps there was a general atmosphere in the studio of like, oh, well, you tried your best, but you're going. He was just really kind of like, well, no one can fault my energy. I did really well on this. And even in the It Takes Two kind of exit interview, he just doesn't seem... that warm. I don't know if I'm just not picking up.
It's a tough thing, I think.
And it's well hidden, but he just seemed a little bit snotty.
I'm not a sports person. I don't like sporty things very much. I prefer things like dancing contests. But there's a funny thing with... we both used to do a lot of stuff on Radio 5, and you'd have sports people in to be interviewed a lot.
Yeah.
And the thing that they've all got in common and why they're famous is they're all massively ambitious and sometimes quite driven to the extent of being quite boring.
Because they're happy to focus.
And they're happy to say that. I remember having... I think it was Matthew Pinsent came on Radio 5 once and he said, I'm not really worth interviewing because I just think about rowing.
It's why...
which is a lovely thing to say.
We've talked about this before, like when someone's on the centre court at Wimbledon. Do you remember this? And you'd be watching them play tennis backwards and forwards. And then at one point, one of them would perhaps quizzically raise their eyebrow at a line call and the commentators were like, oh, he's a lovely personality of the game. It's like, there's nothing there. It's fine. Their brain is all committed to sport.
I think it's especially for an elite athlete, part of the cost is that very often you are completely focused on winning and ambition and adrenaline and drive. And people get critical of that and you go, but that's why they're...
Oh, they have to be like
that.
That's
why they win medals. So
it's like when you go to war, you have to become completely desensitized and not care about human life. It's the same thing.
That's what Strictly with sportsmen is. Is that they get to a point where they've always been able to physically get their body to do whatever they want to. They reach a point where their body will not do what it's been told to do because it's not designed for that.
Yeah.
And the frustration... Actually, bless him. Let's be sympathetic. Adam's not used to that. And the frustration was really visible that he couldn't make his body do it.
He's quite young. You forget how young he is.
Yeah.
We call that the sportsman Gentleman's Plateau. It is there. It is to their eternal doom. Anyway, never mind the losers. They've gone now. Let's focus on the winners. So on to dance number two, we have Rose and Giovanni, who got 40 last week. So that was a pretty big hill to climb to try and do that again this week.
Can they beat 40? Can you top it?
But this week they were doing a samba to a kind of 1960s number. Again, the music on the whole, apart from Sting and Dolly Parton, completely eluded me this week. I have no idea what anybody was dancing
to. I think Dave Arch makes a lot of it up.
Maybe he does. It's improvised. Maybe it's a secret way to get his own compositions onto the show.
You wouldn't know. This is Jazz Odyssey. This is Dave Arch. He wrote it.
That'll be it. So the fashion show concept I really, really loved. So Rose was all done up in a kind of 1960s, you know, white knee-high boots kind of
Sinatra kind of go-go boot
gear. She looked fab. And I think Giovanni was supposed to be the photographer. But the concept was brilliant. It looked great. It was very Last Night in Soho, which obviously is a bit of a thing at the moment. And I just thought she was brilliant. Obviously, she got eights across the board this time rather than tens. But a samba, so bloody difficult. And there was a bit right at the beginning where she is effectively a catwalk model walking down a catwalk or sambering down a catwalk. Insanely difficult timing to keep. Really incredible rotation of her hips the judges picked up on. And again, you just go, oh my God, she can't hear. She can't hear.
I think Craig picked up on it and said, we're forgetting completely. This is there's another level of achievement.
There wasn't
on top
even
of this.
A Giovanni there, kind of saying, "Feel my body, do the same thing my body's doing." Like she was just on her own. So her literally sense of, in her own world.
Her
incredible.
Sense of timing must be absolutely impeccable. It's really funny when you see sometimes early celebrities who come out early and they're counting in their heads.
Yeah.
And you think, I wouldn't forgive you because that's how I'd learn a dance.
Yes.
But you watch Rose and she is completely lost in the music she can't hear,
which is a miracle. It doesn't look like she's counting at all. She looks like she's just experiencing it.
And actually what you're watching there is someone, I mean, if you're talking about diversity and representation, you are someone who is making something look effortless. And one of the great things about the Paralympics and things is it made people for whom this is effortful are still capable of making things look... The enjoyment of dance is effortlessness, and she makes it look effortless, and it can't be.
No, God, no, exactly. And that is something in itself. It was her highest Latin score, so she got 4 8s. Although Anton said, rather than gushing about it, he said, oh, it wasn't too bad. He said he could see her nerves. Craig said it needed more fluidity, but he was the one that kind of became amazed at her timing.
I can see your nerves.
Isn't that horrible?
It's a bit creepy, isn't it?
Halloween was last week, dude. Stop, that's horrible.
How short was her dress?
Really not nice. Motsi said she loved the opening as well, the kind of the catwalk beginning. Said that the two of them made a really strong team. And Shirley picked up particularly on her amazing rotation. I mean, she's young, obviously, and extremely bendy, unlike us old people. But she did rotate her hips in a way that I didn't think was possible. And just obviously a huge praise for his choreography as well. I thought that dance was a real hit, but it's the first time they've really said to her, oh, you looked a bit nervous. Like, I didn't see that at all.
I think it's maybe the week coming after tens. What are you going to watch? I mean, maybe she was nervous because she'd got tens.
That's a hell of a place to come in from, isn't it?
All you can do is maintain it. So the idea, if you get across the board eights, oh dear, something went wrong.
Yeah.
And that's a really weird place to be.
But it's her highest Latin score, and I think absolutely no shame in that at all.
Yeah.
And I just think she's so popular with the viewers that even eights isn't going to leave her in trouble.
They're a lovely pair. You're sort of rooting for them, aren't you?
Completely loving them. And also, maybe he strategically splits up with his girlfriend partway through the series so we can start wondering if they're at it. Then follow, just before we go to the next couple, the T's and C's, probably the most underwhelming of the series so far. Krishnan Gurumurthy, who I like and have a lot of time for, literally on the set of Channel 4 News, just doing them to camera with literally not a glimmer of a smile. Absolutely pointless. Why?
He did them in the style of Terms and Conditions, which is kind of spoiling throwing the point.
What happened to like the funny thing where, I don't know, even if you don't have them in the studio, you send a piece of set to wherever
ball.
They are.
Put the glitter ball behind.
Or it used to be like an archway with a bit of dry ice and then you have some funny props and somebody writes them a bit. It's like, for God's sake, make an effort.
These are serious times.
Well, I don't want to be reminded of that in Strictly Come Pissing Dancing. Thank you very much. Just had to be said. Okay, then we come on to Tom and Amy, who absolutely, I think, I was about to say wiped the floor with, but I mean, they at some points they do with the cape. Their pasodoble to trad, I put here.
To the Paso Doble
song. Don't
know
what it was. It was probably something from Carry On Abroad or,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It made me think of Matthias Rose.
Duty Free. Straight from Duty Free.
Instantly Duty Free. The bleakest sitcom on British television.
We're trapped on an unending holiday. Makes Squid Game look pretty jolly, doesn't
they
it?
They can never come home and they have to keep joylessly dry humping their neighbour's wife.
That's the British version of Hotel California by the Eagles, isn't it? Just a bleak depiction of
and
just cocaine
like
desperation.
Grey sort of like Spanish hotel room. Oh, God, it was so desperate.
Anyway,
bleak.
Theme from Duty Free and they did a dance
they
to it.
They did. But it was, for Tom, I mean, just a leap on physically and, yeah, and figuratively from what he's been doing before. So he had cape work to do. He had to do gazelle leaps and then pivots in midair. It was a really trad. They were calling it a very balletic Paso Doble, because sometimes it can be like a big effing row
between
two lovers.
Yeah, it wasn't super... It was weirdly, it wasn't basically sexy. And with the Paso Doble, it's a bit like the Argentine Tango Girl here, the sexy one.
And you said he was styled like the guy on the Quality Street tin. I mean, it was proper.
He looked like, I mean, there were
two
things that obviously struck me about it. One, the ballet thing, that it was weirdly, because he's talked a lot, and it's been really interesting, about not being a masculine guy. He's a very feminine guy, and he has trouble doing the masculine dances. They'd found here the masculinity of a ballet dancer, which is a feminized masculinity.
But there was such power in him.
But it was really sexy, assertive, male. He was basically like he'd switched to Spanish Buzz mode, like in Toy Story.
Yes.
They found the switch at the back that turns Tom into Spanish Buzz. And even though he was dressed in sort of Captain Britain camp red, white and blue outfit, it didn't look silly.
No.
Because he took it totally seriously. This was, I thought, when
and
it
his
was...
his shaping was so good.
A couple of weeks ago, they shifted from being people I liked to one of my favourites.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really like them. I think they're second tier. And I hope they go as far as they can. But I've just, Tom and Amy, this series, I've gone from thinking, yeah, whatever, to really loving
and
them.
And that's the crucial journey that we're all looking for,
yeah,
isn't it?
I think
that's going to probably be in common with a lot of viewers well.
That's going to happen. They've suddenly come from middle ranking to being someone I look forward to every week.
Yeah.
I think the pair of them are lovely. She's really nice.
Clearly lovely people.
I really like her. He's really good. He loves his kids. He's got all the stuff that works really well on the VT.
Yeah, she's basically a member of their family now, which is usually a way of saying, look, definitely not having an affair.
It's warm and safe and lovely. I really like them. And I think that the dancing has got better and better and better. So he's got a brilliant journey. And I think he's, in a way that Tilly's journey or Sarah's journey has been interesting, watching them get better. He's leapfrogged that into being really, really, really good.
I know, exactly. And it was such a high score for them this week. So they got, Motsi and Shirley gave them 10s, Anton and Craig gave them 9s, which is still, you know, incredibly impressive considering what he'd sort of turned out before. Anton praised Amy's choreography, said it was joyous. Shirley even loved the fact that his feet closed when they should have closed, even among all that leaping and twirling. Said it was superbly done, amazing Spanish line. Motsi said, you know, something's happened to you, Tom. And I was like, yeah, when I was watching, I thought he'd been possessed by a bullfighter. The spirit of a dead bullfighter.
It happens
must be,
a
let's
lot.
Face it, a lot of dead bullfighters.
Yeah, it's a high risk in that
if
game.
If you go toe-to-toe with a bull, you're probably going to end up being killed at some point. And quite right too, it's a very mean sport. And then Craig, was just really all over praising his pirouettes and said he did a fantastic job. And it was the best male Paso they'd probably seen, not even just this series, but on Strictly full stop. It was such a thing to pull out of the bag with 6 weeks till the final, wasn't it? It suddenly made things a bit interesting.
It almost seems that he's better if he's not on tour with his band at the same time as doing this.
That was just nuts.
He's got
it?
A lot better since he's been allowed to actually concentrate on doing this.
And,
but
and have COVID.
Yeah, yes. He's been. What a journey. I mean, I think if they carry on improving like this, they are the surprise journey of the series, I think.
I know. So we'll get on to the next dance in a minute. But that slightly causes me perturbation, because what I really want, I mean, we were talking about like, oh, how many couples in the final, if, you know, because Robert Webb dropped out early and stuff. My final still in my head, which I know is, it's unreasonable to expect, but I will be disappointed if it's not this, will be AJ and Kai, John and Johannes, and Rose and Giovanni.
Yeah.
But now you're throwing Tom and Amy into the mix. And what if it's not four couples? And what then?
I'd like it to go that far. There was a little bit of chat on Twitter this week with a couple of friends who was just saying the best thing that could happen is for it to go like the high jump at the Olympics. And basically at the end, they all agree to just share the medal.
They all shake hands and it's like a really lovely moment and we all cry.
I think Britain needs that. I think we should get to the end and Craig should just go, I think it's cruel that anyone should lose.
Yes.
And he should take his paddles and burn them or snap them. And they should decide that everyone wins. And all the people who were thrown out,
yeah,
they all come back, Nina and everyone, they all come back and everybody shares it.
That sounds fine. I'm happy with that. I'd genuinely be happy with that. It's funny because obviously it is zero importante who wins. Like no one gives a stuff really.
They kill
the ones. But somehow they make that.
They kill the ones? It's like Squid Game?
What?
The ones, when they go off, the reason it's a sad dance, they're shot in the head, bolt gun, like cattle.
I thought they all went to live on a farm.
You've seen they shoot horses, don't they? That's what happens to dancers who fail.
Hi, I'm Scott Hancock, and I host From Queer to Eternity, a new podcast exploring what it means to be queer, where we have conversations like this.
I look at younger generations and go, you can just Google this stuff.
The fact that the only mention of queerness was don't get AIDS.
If I'd been marrying a girl, that would not have happened.
Maybe we can find a universality that we weren't aware of before.
That's why this podcast is so great, because actually, well, I guess we just don't think to speak of this stuff, and yet it's part of our fabric.
From Queer to Eternity, available to listen to now from the Great Big Owl Company.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, on to the next dance. So Reese and Nancy did a quick step, which, as I commented in my, I mean, I think highly praised column in the I newspaper.
Yes, everyone's read it. I don't know why we're even doing this.
I don't, why bother? You can just read me every week. I thought they did a quick step every week, so I was quite confused. literally, give them a slow dance because we need to actually see that they've got feet. I can't see their feet most of the time. This one began, so it's a quick step in a CGI garage with lots of CGI cars up on CGI ramps. But Reese's spanner was very much real. He had a great big spanner or wrench. Nancy's choreography, as usual, would have created enough energy to power a small town. They just went hell for leather. And then, as usual, they finish their dance. You think, oh, my God, the judges must have loved that. And they go, oh, your frame's not very good. And he does seem to keep falling back on this. So I think on the night, he just gets really like, attack, attack, energy, energy, because they keep giving him these really fast dances.
Yeah.
And what he needs, I mean, hopefully what's happening next week is a really sedate ballroom number.
Slow him down.
So that she gets him into one of those torture devices where his frame is set properly and he has like a muscle memory of where to put his shoulders and where to put his elbows and stuff, because he just keeps getting told off for it.
You're right. They were early favourites for me. I really, really liked him early on.
Yeah, me too.
And I thought she's great. I really liked them as a pair. And the energy he was bringing. I mean, he's a children's presenter. He's got all that lovely, honest, good energy
pouring
out of
him. He seems like a very good egg. Despite having that strange thing where he hangs out with a married couple and their kid every Saturday night. But that, I'm sure that's fine. It's not weird.
whatever people do in the privacy of their own home. That's the message of Strictly. What people do in the privacy of their own home is fine.
As long as there's no cameras there.
Yeah.
As long as no one's Claudia going live to you in your front room.
It's just
really
weird. But he plays really nice. He's got that sort of rubbery spring energy that you get from a children's presenter.
And a pro dancer. Like, he's got natural talent.
Yeah, he's terrific. But what he's not doing is changing his style. And at this point, it's the people who haven't got the flexibility and haven't got the haven't got the range, darling, who are getting sent home.
That's it.
And I think last week when he did It was Halloween week where he did War of the Worlds, which obviously is the best thing that's ever.
Oh, which was great.
Best thing that's ever happened on Strictly because of War of the Worlds.
Naturally.
It was great. Jeff Wayne.
And
brilliant.
Jeff Wayne was interviewed.
It was amazing.
Amazing.
And that was almost the best use of all that energy because it bottled it and made it angry rather than just bouncy.
Yeah.
And he, well, that's as far as you can go with just this sort of enormous amount of stored spring.
Yeah.
Because it was disciplined, so it's really good. And since then, all they're saying, the judges are saying again and again, is that he needs to do something else with it. Or they've seen him jump around.
Yeah. Anton Dubek's professional partner, Erin Bogue, was on Strictly It Takes Two last night. I love the all this. We're doing like a Bella Baretti about Strictly, and I'm referencing the other Bella Baretti on TV.
We've got a podcast that's just about Strictly It Takes Two.
Yes, we have. We don't record it, but we do it every week. But no, Erin Bogue said brilliantly, I think, if this was a freestyle dance competition, like give him the medal on week one. He's incredible. Yeah. But it's about disciplining all that talent and energy into the right shapes, the right dance. And that doesn't seem to be happening with his and Nancy's partnership in the way that it should. And that's the only reason why I think maybe he's not a finalist, because all these other incredible dancers, that might trip him up. And also, I think he has been... Has he been in a dance-off? No, am I imagining that? I certainly... One week, the phone votes were leaked, and I don't think he was as high up as I'd expected him to be. So...
Oh, no, they were in a dance-off. It was a real surprise. They were in a dance-off once, and there was a sudden realisation that not as many kids are voting.
Well, that's it. And maybe they're bugging their parents too, but probably not in the numbers that are needed.
Yeah, he has dance-off. He danced off very early on with a really, really good routine, and it was a real surprise he was in the dance-off.
Exactly, and no one was going to hold a candle to him in the dance-off.
But at that point, I was really, really kind of angry that he could ever be considered to be someone who might go out. And now I'm starting to see the limitations of what they can do.
Yeah. And we'll see. Maybe that'll change if he does a ballroom.
It'd be interesting to see. Yeah, push them somewhere. Interesting. The thing that is, I think, has happened is that he started off and he was really naturally good.
Yeah.
So maybe he's gone.
Expectations were very high.
Fine.
He doesn't seem like... I think, judging by... It was last week, Nancy was saying something about, you know, they get to the training room at 9 a.m. and they leave at 10 p.m.
Oh, my God.
Which is just bonkers.
It's not worth it.
I don't know if that's every day, but I don't think the guy is cocky at all. I think he's the opposite of cocky.
It. It's not worth it. Just come out and stomp about. Be fine.
That's what you do.
Yeah, stomp about.
I reckon I can win. I'm brilliant.
How hard can it be?
No, but that said, he got 3 9s and a 7, so it's not like he messed it up or anything. But he is going to have to work on that posture and being in hold generally, because that is what they constantly batter him about. So we move on to Tilly and Nikita's tango. It's either called Kings and Queens or King and Queen. Again, don't know the song, don't know the artist.
Don't know, assumed it was from chess.
They should have done it from chess. I mean, if it was from chess, then I'd forgotten it. But anyway, they were dancing on a big chessboard. She had loads of black coal eyeliner on.
Good CGI chessboard. I like that.
It was brilliant.
On the dance-off,
although
they missed.
Although in the dance-off, they went right off the edge.
Genuinely worried. I thought they were going to fall. Yeah, they didn't quite sync up.
Actually, just shows you how suggestible you are.
And it also shows you how amazingly synchronised the graphics and dancing is.
Oh my God, such pros.
The graphics people are doing a 3D render at the same time, and they know exactly where the dancers are going to be at any particular time.
Because they've camera blocked it on a Friday.
And a fraction of
a
second
out. But they
only
get a couple of run-throughs to do that. So it is incredibly impressive matching that choreography to where the floor's going to sort of, you know, have your floor on it, essentially.
Again, really brave. A really brave thing. So you don't need to do that. You could just put them on a chessboard.
And at the beginning of the dance, they have to kind of appear between two chess pieces that move apart to let them through as well. So, really quite
impressive.
Clever. Sometimes we slag the graphics, but actually this was pretty damn good.
If you've got CGI crocodile at one end and maybe exercise zombies at that end.
Please no.
Chess pieces, far end, brilliant. The chessboard effect was
We're
terrific.
Calling them high. Is it because it's chess?
Yes, yes.
And we literally are those wankers that when we watched The Queen's Gambit remembered we had a chessboard and put it on our coffee table.
It's very important people know we've heard of chess.
So when people come around, it's like, oh, is that a chessboard? Yes, it actually is.
We use it as a cheeseboard, to be honest.
Shut up, Joel. Anyway, back to the dance. Tilly and Nikita's tango. I thought it was really good, but I could definitely, you know, when you hear the judges start speaking and you think, oh, yeah, that's what I wasn't quite comfortable with. I didn't know why it wasn't like fully the power and the powerful staccato thing that I was hoping for. They were kind of contradicting themselves. They said it was staccato and it was intense, but they just said Anton was glitching this week massively with his constant referral to the position of people's heads, mostly women in hold. But apparently the position of her head wasn't quite right, so the rest of her body wasn't quite hanging right, and that's why it didn't completely look like a tango should. But Craig was more critical, although he gave the same score as Anton and Motsi. He said that it stopped and started a bit. He said some of the footwork was heavy. Motsi said she's a beautiful dancer, but work on the tiny things. Motsy's always being nice this year. I think as the kind of little criticisms come in, she's less willing to like go in for the kill. She'll just say, but it's really good.
She's sitting next to Craig. She's got to. Yeah, I guess you're so. There as a sort of buffer.
She understands that she's got a kind of a slightly, you know, put a plaster on it and kiss it better job to do. And although Shirley said we can always rely on your performances, and she said she needed more flow and frame, and actually only gave her a 7, so the other judges were 8s, but Shirley did give her a 7. And again, I think the makeup did a lot of the heavy lifting for Tilly this week, but her face, apart from not smiling, wasn't doing a lot again.
Yeah, she's...
And I think just what, at this point in any other series of Strictly, an acting coach would have come in and said and done some stuff with her to say, let's make you look angry. Can you remember a time when, I don't know, say your dad said something really stupid and you were really angry with him? I imagine she's got a few of those stored away.
Maybe she's repressed all that stuff. Maybe if you say...
Maybe there's only room for one angry person in that house.
Yeah, maybe if you say to Tilly, let the emotions out, she goes, I can't, I
mustn't. I think she needs therapy.
Yeah, it's not an acting coach, it's a therapist.
Oh my God.
She's someone who's got... what appears to be a sunny disposition, which they struggle with.
Oh, yes, for sure.
But I wonder whether it's fear of letting something out that's stopping her letting herself out.
But it's not sunny. It's kind of very... She's neither sunny nor depressed. She's just very in the middle.
Maybe there's no room for emotion in that household. I love the fact we're therapizing her house. This is probably really, really unfair. Maybe they're lovely. I don't... I doubt it. Bear in mind, her dad's...
I don't think her dad's lovely. Her mum's probably extra lovely to make up for how awful her dad is.
Yeah.
And it's really sweet because I think her mum... she said her mum goes every single week. Obviously, her dad must be off working and things, but her mum is in the audience every single week supporting her daughter, which is really, really lovely.
I'm saying if you keep bringing your family along for VTs, we're going to criticise your family. It's as simple as that. I think they should work on their placement. I think their hands are all wrong. Their frames are all wrong. And as a family, I think they're a disaster for...
Well, she ended up in the dance-off. And my only advice to her going forward is, because now everyone's pretty much a great dancer, no more VTs with dad, because he will kill your phone votes faster than, I don't know, an electrical storm taking out phone lines. Like, please don't more VTs with your dad.
He's one of those strange people we have in our... in our culture now, who the only reason they're famous is because apparently they're sort of astonishingly witty or clever or lovable or likeable or a good turn of phrase. And then whenever you watch them, you go, but you're terrible at this. Like Boris Johnson or people, you go, oh, I'm waiting for you to deliver the bon mot that made you famous.
Exactly.
And you go, but you're really witless and slow.
He is an angry footballer. Yeah, there's literally rubbish. Nothing else to him.
Maybe
his food is nice, but just being paid to be angry on television, I'm sorry, it doesn't cut it anymore. Yeah, it's not enough. I don't know why anyone would respect him. He's just an angry footballer. Moving on to, I think probably I do feel bad saying this because he did throw some nice shades, but the most forgettable dance of the night. I really had to rack my brain to try and remember, even with only 9 dances, like what this actually was. Dan and Nadia did a couple's choice. Again, while they were dancing, I had no idea what style they were dancing. Apparently it was Street.
I wonder which street.
Coronation Street.
Bishop's Avenue, like a posh street. I don't know.
It wasn't even Hollywood Boulevard, which I think was the idea. They kind of jumped through a giant billboard of themselves as movie stars.
It's probably one of those new builds, like a Brookside. Not a street, but cul-de-sac.
I'm going to say cul-de-sac too. I'm absolutely with you there. Again, in training this week, rather than letting them just get on and train, they put them on the train to go and look at a football stadium for no good reason. It had bugger all to do with their dance.
Be stopped. What would happen if they were allowed to stay at home and train?
I wonder.
One
maybe
week they'll do that
things.
And he just flies. He can actually fly.
Maybe he can actually fly. It was nothing to do with their routine. It was so bizarre. They went to Man United. He talked a bit, reminisced about being a commentator and meeting some footballing heroes. And then presumably because the pitch is sacred, they weren't even allowed to practice their routine on the pitch. So it's like pointless. And it's always them as well. I do a thing called Rehearsal Room Bingo every week in my lovely column in the iNewspaper, which you really must read. And every week it's them. They put them on a train. They make them do something pointless. And then they bring them home again for like 20 seconds of VT tops. It is so, so pointless. Someone doesn't like them on that show. So this dance was kind of like, I think the story was supposed to be, it didn't really have one, that they were kind of, you know, cool LA handsome star and hero or heroine and hero of some kind of movie, but they had no personalities at all, and they were just sort of, you know, he was mostly running, she was doing the proper dancing. That all the judges said, look, you know, he's capable of more than this. A couple of times when they were doing some side-by-side stuff, he was terrific, But on the whole, it was the blandest thing I've ever seen.
It was weird. It looked like they'd because obviously it's not movie week, so it's a really weird thing to do a movie themed one on.
It was
not
just
movie
a bit
week.
Like, oh, we've got this routine, we haven't really thought where to place it.
And the
do you
poster,
do it?
The poster they burst through was reminiscent of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood,
yes.
The Tarantino film. And you went, but doesn't that end with the Sharon Tate murder?
I'm pretty sure it's got a lot like a nasty murder in it.
It's overlong and it ends with a nasty murder.
I haven't seen it. I don't want to.
I'm wondering if someone had said, "Hey, that's kind of cool," and they'd gone La La Land. No, we'll do Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And someone had gone, "No, you mustn't do that." So they'd removed all the content
they
from
should
it just in case.
Absolutely have done La La Land. It was a complete mistake. But anyway, so apart from the fact that it had no real character and I couldn't tell who Dan was supposed to be in the dance, which is kind of a big mistake. You have to give them something to get their teeth
Charles
into.
Charles Manson, I think.
Well, he didn't convince me as a psychopathic cult leader/serial killer. Craig did go in really hard on him this week. He gave him a 6 and he said, "Vanilla, saccharine, disappointing," which I'm afraid to say, even though Dan's skill is undeniable, I totally agreed with.
He's surprising that he's still here.
Yeah.
Something's happening. He's good enough to stay.
He says a lot like with Claudia afterwards, like, "Oh, it's amazing because I'm not a very good dancer." It's yeah. like, then get off of Strictly. You're in the way. You're roadkill.
His post being saved by the Red Light of Doom interview, he said, "Oh, I'm not that good a dancer." And you kind of want to go, if on Bake Off, you keep making poisonous cakes. Even if people are like, "You go home."
I can't really cook is the funny thing.
Everything's on fire. I don't know why I'm still here. Oh, I burned the tent down. Okay, by this point in the competition, being a good dancer is why you're still here.
Yeah.
So you, I mean, I assume it shows a bit of self-knowledge that he goes, "I've probably only got a couple of weeks left," which is nice. That's a nice thing to say.
A couple
I think
of weeks is generous, Joe.
A lot of people are looking at him going, "Still here, Dan."
To be honest, he's being very good-humoured about it. Yeah. And he keeps trying to insert sort of like a personality into the Claudia interviews. So this week, apropos of nothing, no one asked him, he was saying, "Oh, my right bum cheek, you know, it's really suffered this week. I've had it all strapped up by the physio. It's completely hairless. Like, I don't really want to think about your hairless bum cheek."
He was revealing things he shouldn't reveal. Actually, genuinely, I must admit, his off-script stuff, his bit where he goes one bit too far, has been really good.
It's been fun, like, but he knows what he's doing. He's trying to, desperately trying to connect with the audience.
He's good at it.
Because, his dancing isn't quite up to stick. Anyway, he got 2 7s, an 8 and a 6 from Craig. And then just as they were about to run off up the stairs, Shirley, you know that bit in Game of Thrones where you might not have seen it, Indira Varma, her character's like a sort of beautiful evil baddie from some mystical island, and she kisses goodbye this girl who then gets on a boat and sails away, but of course the lipstick was poisoned and she slowly expires as she voyages back to her homeland. Shirley said to Dan as he was about to go up the stairs, "You're consistent," and it felt to me like the same thing.
Right, yeah.
Consistent
doomed.
Means unchanging,
doomed.
Treading water, dead in the water.
Consistency
basically.
It's not called Strictly Come Consistency.
No,
is it
isn't. I mean, if it was, that would be stupid. And actually, the title of Strictly Come Dancing, say it to yourself another 3 times. It's stupid.
It's really stupid.
So stupid.
Based on a film you've forgotten.
Okay, on to my undisputed favourite dance of the night now. It's John and Johannes and their rumba to Shape of My Heart by Sting. I've heard this one.
Yes, when you go, "Thank goodness it's Sting," you know that you've got to a point where you don't know any songs anymore.
It's a bit worrying, isn't it? Yeah. So the VT before this was perhaps almost even better than the actual dance, which I adored. So they're in the training room and Sting sends them a VT and it's lovely. And he just, he trots out the usual 2 sentences about, "I'm very proud of you and good luck." And John looks at Johannes with such earnestness and says, "We cannot let Sting down." And that's not really John's accent. I apologise to everyone in the North, as usual. But that was his primary focus. Like, shit, Sting's going to watch this. And if we fuck it up, we've let Sting down.
What will Sting do?
I know.
Sting will haunt you with a lute outside your window.
I think he would.
Angrily.
While his wife does yoga on one leg. Has anyone seen that? That picture's our favourite picture of Sting, isn't it? he's playing a giant lute and his wife standing on one leg doing yoga.
And the one thing you know about Sting is he doesn't give up and he's got endless stamina.
Endless stamina.
He can play the lute outside your window for ages. He's unstoppable.
It's all about breath control, apparently. Anyway, as is usual with a rumba, it doesn't matter what the others think because they all haven't got a clue what they're talking about. Shirley is the queen of the rumba. Nobody else knows rumba. She does. So straight to Shirley. She was almost in tears. She was very moved. She said she was moved. She said his leg work was amazing. She said the routine was stripped down. It was so fitting. It was really emotional. Class personified. She was really struggling for words because she was just, her bottom lip was going. Yeah. She absolutely loved it. I think that there were tiny things they could have improved. They were talking about John's posture and if he just opens his chest a bit more and extends more of those. But I thought the shapes he was making were beautiful. And also, it was pointed out to me only after, because I didn't really know when I was watching, John was fully leading this. He was the lead in all of this. And you know how you can tell that?
How?
Because Johannes's buttons were done up to just above his nipples,
right,
and John's were undone down to well below his nipples.
Is that the code?
And that shows he's alpha and
dominant.
He's the lead. Yes, exactly.
Oh my God, he's trying to unbutton him.
Exactly.
But I think, this was a perfect demonstration of why these two are working.
Oh, so
one,
good.
That they can mirror each other. Previously before, what's been impressive is Johannes is the most astonishingly charismatic and interesting dancer.
Yeah.
And that John is matching him. You can't take your eyes off John to look at Johannes, which is almost impossible.
Isn't that nuts? Because he is like such an attention-grabbing performer.
And it's brilliant. And that's what he does. That is his job. And I'm watching John, which is incredible. I'm not looking away from John to look at the great dancer.
No, no.
And this week was a thing, as a non-dancer, I don't know, but shifting that from being that John is mirroring him or reflecting him or following him to John is leading him.
Leading him around the floor. Amazing. And so slowly and exposingly. It's like it's really hard to do that.
It was gorgeously romantic.
It was,
because it was
wasn't
to do with
it?
Trust. And he basically, Johannes has said, I've got you to a point now where you're such a good dancer. I trust you to lead me.
Yeah.
And weirdly, that was incredibly touching.
And it was kind of a throwback to something he said about one of the routines a couple of weeks ago where John had to lift him.
Yeah.
And it made him really emotional because Johannes is always the one that lifts his dance partner. And it just made him realise the incredible trust you put in someone when you let them hurl you into the air. Like, it feels...
Their story is
different.
Lovely.
It's just wonderful to watch them.
I think what you're doing with them as well, is what their bodies are great and their dancing is great. You're watching their faces and they are both so excited they're doing this.
Yeah.
So there is the wider story, the
it's
cultural
lovely.
Story and things. It is... They are in love with what each other is doing.
Yeah.
And it's just brilliant.
Although
watch.
If we're talking in reality, my read of it is that obviously John's got a lovely boyfriend, is very happy. I don't know if Johannes is single or not, but I think Johannes has a crush the size of Alaska on his dance partner. And who wouldn't, quite frankly?
That makes it even more poignant and beautiful. It is true, which I've now decided it is true.
That's how I decide to read it. Craig's,
it's true, it is.
It is, I know it's true. I really liked what Craig said about wanting to steal that as his wedding dance, because Craig is betrothed, apparently. Didn't know he was betrothed, but he's shortly to be married. Really want to go to that wedding. I imagine it'll be an absolute riot. I know. He said that John could have had a straighter leg, but actually Erin Bogue, I refer you back to Erin Bogue again, last night on It Takes Two, bam, 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 bam. She said that actually what he could have done is the other leg to be more bent, because you have like a bent leg and a straight leg,
straight
a standing
or bendy,
leg.
Same,
but anyway.
Same. Something up with his leg.
A minor technical point, but he gave him an 8. Motsy just said she loved watching the two of them. They created a subtle atmosphere. It was the essence of a rumba. She gave them 8. Anton gave them a 9, said it was beautifully mature. And Shirley, moved as she was, thrust aloft her 10 paddle, thus ensuring they had not let Sting down.
Hooray, hosannas.
He will not be looming at their window with his lute anytime soon. So well done, John and Johannes.
Thank goodness.
Okay, so now we move on to, oh God, and this is just like the fireworks, you know, going off at the end of a big concert, because now it just goes one great routine after another. AJ and Kai did their Charleston to a song called Don't Bring Lulu, which I didn't know.
Oh, yes. That's,
not that, being born in the jazz era.
That's the real thing.
And obviously, the first thing you have to point out is, again, she's styled beautifully as this incredible sort of flame-coloured flapper in that kind of tassel-y dress. They cut it really short. She looked just like a beautiful, beautiful flame dancing. And immediately, because she's a black woman dressed in 1920s gear, Anton, of course, straight to the top of his Rolodex, you look like Josephine Baker.
Yay!
I don't know if she looked anything like Josephine Baker, but certainly in Anton's head, she did.
She looked like Richard Baker. Read the news.
Richard Bacon. anyway, she looked delicious. And
like Ginger Baker.
Is that a drummer?
Yeah.
See, I know that. That's a drummer. Yeah. But they're Charleston. So Charlestons are always, I always look forward to them almost as much as Argentine tangos, because the character of that dance is so identifiable and specific, and kind of like for entertainment, jazz hands, fast movement. There's usually lots of mugging to camera and people tumbling over one another in a kind of really impressive way. This was definitely, I mean, it was no letdown at all. It was absolutely incredible. And she just always looks like a pro now.
Yeah.
Like, I probably expect a bit too much from her, because when I see her dance, I don't see a foot or an angle or anything out of place. She's just impeccable.
She's this year's one. There's always a contestant who has no journey. effectively, apart from their confidence.
They just arrive, they arrive as a dancer in week one. It's amazing.
They're surprised they're an amazing dancer. And it seems to be genuine. Genuine.
Oh, no, she is. She's a newbie.
Because she's got, and her attitude and her character is, I can't believe I'm doing this. It's literally
Yeah, I
is,
believe it.
What's that line from Bugs Malone? I'm dancing. She's literally one of those people who's literally cannot believe. Look at me, Ma. I'm dancing. She cannot believe she's doing it. So she's got no journey. So you go, well, this should be boring because you've arrived fully formed. And yet, they're so good.
Yeah.
And they're so beautiful to watch. And you look forward to seeing what they're going to do every week, that the lack of journey doesn't matter because the quality beats that.
Yeah, and actually I'm still more interested in the fact that they're dancing like this and that then they're doing it off screen. Like, I actually couldn't care less. I just really enjoy watching them dance together. Craig, although he didn't get out his ten paddle, did just simply say amazing. Anton said it was outrageous and brilliant. Shirley said she didn't have a paddle big enough, which I think she meant was a number high enough. And Motsi said she was so proud of them. They were authentic. Her acting was great. And she loved it four times she loved it. AJ got, I think it's her highest score to date. She got 3 10s and a 9 from Craig. And rightly so. I just think, I mean, she has to be in the final. There's no question.
Oh, yeah. That, it'd be terrible. And also, I want to spend another week trying to work out who Kai is, because he's not a robot greengrocer or an action man greengrocer.
He's not, no.
No, it's wrong. I'm thinking, this week I was thinking he was a slightly too clean heavy from a 1950s British film. He would throw George Cole out of a window in a St. Trinian's film.
Yes.
But he'd be supposed to be being gangster, but actually, you know, he's too nice.
Need to sponge on a bit of grey stubble.
Yeah. He looks like he's been picked out of a chorus line from the windmill, from the Palladium.
Yeah.
And they put him and said, you're a big lad, you can play the heavy in this. And he's thrown George Cole as Flash Harry into the back of a lorry full of manure. That's what Kai is.
It's like Mark's still here. Brilliant. No, well, that's nice.
It just bothers me every week. He's reminding me of something and I can't work out what it is.
On the final, it'll finally slot into place exactly who he is.
He'll pull his mask off like in Mission Impossible reveal. He's actually was Anton all along. Like in WandaVision, but it was Anton all along.
Okay, and now we get to, I can't believe we're here already, but it's the last dance of the night. It was Sara and Aliash who did a quick step to the only other song I recognised, 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. From the olden times, which I really, really enjoyed and got them some very decent scores. But I was really put off by her wig.
Right, do you think it was the wrong Dolly wig?
I don't know, maybe they, you know what the hair and makeup are like? They're usually pretty good. And if they're trying to replicate like a look from a film, they're brilliant at it. Like, you know, they did Mia Wallace in, you know, Pulp Fiction.
You know what? It was supposed to be Lily Tomlin's wig. They really got it wrong.
I didn't like it. Maybe it's the shape of Sara's head. It didn't fit her. It just didn't suit her at all. And so, because I'm shallow and an awful person.
You were distracted by that,
I was very. I was very distracted by the wig. I just thought it looked heavy and like it might be slowing her down. And in a quick step, that's not
good.
I'm
now remembering. I think Dolly in 9 to 5 has an amazingly unflattering perm.
I mean, I'm sure they were being
absolutely... It's not what you think of as Dolly hair.
Forensic. No, exactly. But anyway, hair aside, Anton absolutely loved it, got his 9 paddle, said, you beauty! I wished I'd danced it with you. He'd wished that a couple of times with Sara now. Maybe he's got a little... flickering flame.
Actually,
for her.
He would have been paired with Sara in the classic Strictly pairings.
Oh, he definitely would have done.
And she would have been. What he's thinking
and
is
she
that
she would have been a lovely surprise, and he'd have been in much longer than he thought.
Exactly. This is Anton's little fantasy he goes to bed with every night and thinks about the series he was partnered with a clomper, and she turned out to be able to fly.
An absolute gazelle.
Yeah.
But the one thing the one thing that really stands out about Sara compared to all the other contestants is that when she's in hold, she is perfection.
Yes.
They can't fault her in hold. Anton said, never come out of hold. You're great. Which I guess is a tip for if she does get to the final, just do shitloads of ballroom. but yeah, I mean, who wouldn't be really comfortable and happy in the arms of Aliash, or Aljaz as we call him in our house.
I thought the one thing I thought, it's just a costume thing as well as the hair, it's because it came straight after AJ's flapper outfit, and AJ's obviously got these amazing legs and things, and you can watch everything she's doing.
She's just a pair of legs, basically.
She looks like,
not literally, that would be hideous.
Looks like a split pin, but she's this astonishing shape which you can see everything she's doing. And then you saw the costume that Sara had this long flowy dress, and I went, I can't see what your feet are doing.
Well, quick steps do tend to have a bit more of a ballroom skirt, don't they? But maybe it was cut a bit too long.
Yeah, and it was confusing. I thought, oh, I can't tell at the end of this whether you've done it brilliant, and luckily the judges could see. But I went, it's a bit unfair. Yeah. It's a bit like dressing her as a Dalek. You can't quite see what she's doing.
Or one of those ladies that covers a toilet roll.
Yes, dressed as a toilet roll lady.
That's how I want all my Strictly costumes to be when I'm on Strictly. Yeah. I just want them all to go down to the ground so no one can see my feet.
Yeah, and actually underneath it, all your little bike.
No, you know, I just want to be on roller skates.
Just always a Dalek.
And just this week, drag me around
for
the
movie
floor.
Week, I'm a Dalek. And for Halloween week, I'm a Dalek. And this week I'm Stephen Hawking. Always on wheels. Relentlessly on wheels.
Anyway, back to Sarah and Al Jazz's Quickstep. So yes, the Quickstep, you do really need to see the footwork. Craig said, because presumably he could see through skirts, there's footwork.
Is that his superpower?
Yes, he can.
Oh my God.
Completely wasted on Craig, actually. So it's a real shame.
Surprised he couldn't see her nerves.
But he did say her footwork could be cleaner backwards, which is saying something. Whoa. When you have to tidy up your work backwards, like, well done for her.
Pure Ginger Rogers.
If that's the only criticism. Yeah. But he said, this is your forte, well done. Motsy loved her rhythm changes, said it was really strong, and she just said generally, what a show, like, everyone is clearly at their peak. So they came away with 3 8s, and Anton gave them a 9 because he's nuts about Sarah's hold. Okay, so at the end of this week, obviously we know who went. It was Adam and Katia, but they were bottom of the leaderboard, just Dan and Nadia edging above them. And then at the top, it was AJ and Kai, swiftly followed by Tom and Amy. I forgot Tom and Amy, obviously, who did an incredible routine this week. But the dance-off, obviously, wasn't... I mean, this is where the mid-table, everyone's in danger. Everyone's in danger now. Adam and Katia were always going to be in the dance-off, I think. But, yeah, they were with Tilly and Nikita.
Yeah.
Who looked pretty gutted, I think, to have been down there. But, I mean, anyone could be from next week, I think.
Who else is it going to be? I think this is the thing we got where...
Dan Walker.
I
don't know.
Yes, it's really strange. But early on, it's a surprise when Reese and Nancy are in the dance-off. I don't think anyone could be surprised in a dance-off because they're just picking people off now.
I know. That's it now. It's going to be sort of, someone from a grassy knoll taking them out with a gun.
Yeah.
As you said, they do all end up getting killed. So.
And, of course, Anton will be able to say their head should have been back into the left, back into the left.
Then they never have been hit. Brilliant, brilliant.
It's all about the positioning of the head. JFK would still be here if only he'd listened to Anton.
That's what he's going on about. I just thought he was losing his mind. So we lose Adam and Katia. He has returned to the sea.
The ocean floor.
Albeit now, I think maybe we're saying he sleeps with the fishes, if what you say is true. He's not one of them. He's just asleep with them
just
now.
Yeah, dropped in.
In concrete, as is traditional. So next week, I mean, we really are looking at someone terrific going next week, or Dan Walker.
Yeah, it's basically it's a hard choice. It's either going to be someone terrific or Dan Walker. When it comes down to the judge's choice, they're going to have to say that. Well, I had a choice here. It was either someone terrific or Dan Walker.
I think that's it. Nadia looked genuinely surprised this week that they weren't in the dance-off. So, I mean, I haven't seen the phone votes, but something is going on there. He clearly has, I don't know, the mum vote or somebody.
Jesus.
The Jesus, all the godly people are voting for him. I hope not on a Sunday, though. No, they can't, can they? Because the show's on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So Dan Walker, I have a nasty suspicion the next week... I'm not making him into a hate figure. He's a perfectly nice man. But next week, I think he'll be saved again. And two unbelievably good people will be in the drop zone. And we're going to lose someone incroyable. And it could be Tilly, because I don't think she's going to be of the age group that's getting the actual votes.
It's probably Tilly or Reese and Nancy in there.
Yeah, I think so. Isn't that awful?
And I would, again, I think this puts a lovely bit onto everyone else's story, because it means that Sarah's had the most amazing story, where at the beginning you thought she'd last 2 or 3 weeks, and here she is being one of the best ballroom...
Oh, she's still a contender, definitely.
...amateurs they've had. And it's those stories you weren't expecting. The only thing we weren't expecting, really, was that Dan would still be here. But I think we're not alone in that. I think Dan thinks the same thing.
I think Jesus is keeping him there. It's just the power of prayer.
And it shows it works.
Hang on a minute. Have we just proved the existence of God?
We have.
I didn't see this week going that way. Mark, get better soon. Come back. Anyway, honestly, thank you for listening. Sorry we're late. Sorry for waffling on, as we inevitably do as an old married couple. But hopefully, not hopefully because I want to get rid of Joel, but I hope Mark is well enough next week.
Yes, get well.
And has ceased his hallucinating.
Get well as fast as a Strictly contestant can get over COVID really
fast.
Which
apparently is like 3 days and you're done.
Honestly, this isn't doing the messaging any good that it's a serious disease. You can apparently be back doing quick steps the next week. But
I know. They should at least make them do it in an iron lung or something.
Yeah, or cough occasionally. Just close up on them looking distressed.
Thank you so much for listening. Come and see us on the Twitter if you want to have a chat. We drop in and out of there infrequently, but we are there. And we'll see you next week. Don't know who, our lineup changes weekly now, so it could be anyone.
Yeah.
It could be someone who's never done the podcast before. But someone will be here blethering on about Strictly. Until then, thank you for listening. And keep dancing. We'll be right back.
I mean, how many movies have we watched and we're watching a cannibal and we don't know it? Maybe it's not such a wonderful life.
Maybe it used to be a wonderful life before I got eaten alive by Jimmy Stewart.
You want a little bite?
I might just want one bite.
The entire first season of Nina Conti and Shanoa Allen's Richard and Greta is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Richard and Greta, gonna make your life better today.